Hi, we are One of Messiah Congregation. Shalom to everyone. Kahal Achad B'Mashiach in Hebrew. And I thank God we could be here making straight the way of the Lord. We're going to be talking about the Feast of the Lord. And you know, God has His own New Year. And I know it's hidden from the world. It's sort of covered, you know. And it's such a shame that, you know, God's feasts, His calendar, everything of God has been erased.
Angelo, who do you think erased them? What happened over time?
Well, you know, as we look in history, my wife Carrie, we see that the Catholic Church seems to be one of the main culprits, and because they were such a dominating force in the early, the 4th century when they were created, and then of course later on the Jesuits were also a driving force of the Catholic Church. However, you know, we fast forward right to the 1500s, and we got this man, Martin Luther. And he's just a Catholic monk, breaks out of the Catholic Church. He decides to, I don't know, maybe he wanted to do a few things better than what he was taught. And he found some things that were, he made it a little more accurate. However, he still brought over most of the traditions of the Catholic Church. So most of the Protestants today, the Protestant Reformation, they're the stepchildren of the Catholic Church.
So in other words, what we need to do is step back in time then, to the time of the apostles, because we know things were right at the time of the apostles, right?
Correct. I mean, you know, like in the book of Jeremiah, you know, it says we're trying to get people back to the old paths, you know, where is the good way, and you'll find rest to your soul. Most people, I don't know if church people even stop and consider what they really believe.
Well, you know, it says, it says in the New Testament scriptures that Paul kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It talks about Pentecost. It talks about Passover. It talks about many feasts in the New Testament scriptures. But what is it about belonging to a religion, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, when you read those, somehow you negate them. People will say things like, oh, Paul was just trying to please the Jews or something like that. No, the truth is that the apostles were Jews.
That's
they
right.
Kept the commandments of God. They kept the feast days of the Lord, mm-hmm. and they found the Messiah according to the scriptures.
Exactly. You know, if people read the Gospels and letters, I guess without church doctrine behind them or baggage, they would see that the feast of the Lord were mentioned even after the resurrection of the Messiah. You know, this is very important. If you look in the book of Acts, you can look at chapter 12, verse 3, Acts 20, verse 6. You can look in Corinthians when Paul was talking to the Corinthians. You can see when Paul's talking to the Romans, even in the book of Revelations. So the feasts of the Lord are all in the Gospels and letters, just that no one ever acknowledges that the feasts of the Lord are for everyone, because you know what they always say? Those are the Jewish feasts. Does it say anywhere it's the feast of the Jews? No.
Well, and the truth of it is it was the feast of the Jews because the Jews were the people of God.
Right.
And really, who do we need to join when we repent and become saved? Who do we really join?
Well, we're joining the Israel of God. And, you know, my point was, these are not the feasts of the Jews. These are the feasts of the Lord. That's what it says in the book of Leviticus. So the feasts of the Lord are for everyone. And when you become a real Jew or a real Israelite, that's when these feasts pertain to you. You know, a lot of people don't even understand yet who the new covenant was given to. It's all to the house of Israel. And if you don't join the house of Israel, then you become not a partaker, and then you're not in the body.
Well, where does it say that in the Word?
Well, you know, let's go to Apostle Paul, you know, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8.
Okay.
And, you know, this is Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the epistles, a lot of these letters to many churches. So I think we could trust him. And, you know, he was quoting Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. And you have your Hebrews 8:8 there.
I certainly do. Hebrews 8, starting with verse 8, it says, "For finding fault with them," that means with the Jewish people at the time, "he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah."
Wasn't that interesting? It's not the house of the Baptist or the house of the Church of Christ.
No, it's
not.
Oh,
it's the house of Israel. And who's Israel?
Israel are the people of God.
Who was Israel? What was his first name?
It was Jacob. Yes. The 12 tribes.
Right, that's who Israel is. In other words, you're either a descendant of Abraham through faith, children of Abraham, or you're not. At the end, I mean, you're either sheep or goats. So you're either in the body or you're not. That's what I'm trying to get at. Most people, they don't understand that we're supposed to be all one, echad, in the body of Messiah. There's not like two bodies, two ways to serve the Lord. I always notice that the church, as they call it, the church, and then they talk about Israel, like they separate the church from Israel. No, Israel is the body. And Jacob is our forefathers. And if you didn't join one of the 12 tribes, you joined the Israel of God, you're not in the body because there's only 12 gates.
That's right. There is only 12 gates, aren't they?
Yeah.
And those are the 12 tribes.
Yeah. I mean, there's the 12 tribes, the foundation. So a lot of people don't even understand these simple concepts, and we're trying to speak about them very lightly at the moment. We're not going in depth at the moment. We're trying to make it just simply clear to people that the whole Word of God is for you. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus, Yeshua, said, when he said that, what word is he talking about? All he had was Genesis to Malachi. That is the Word of God. And then everybody in the Gospels kept the Word of God. Everybody in the epistles kept the Word of God.
Well, it's kind of the same as the in the Tanakh, which is Genesis to Malachi. We have the Torah, which is the five books of Moses, and the same thing there. Even through the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi, God gave his commandments, he gave his feast days, and throughout all of scripture, they're keeping them.
Exactly.
Or sometimes not keeping them, which meant they were in trouble with the Lord, of course.
Right. I mean, most people, like, you know, I tell people now, like right now as we're speaking, you know, we're in the 12th month of God, and it's called Adar. So they say, well, where did you get that from? Did you make that up? I say, no, it's in chapter 3, verse 7 of the book of Esther. So you go to Esther and you read that. It says the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. And if you look at, if you know anything about Hebrew, you have the Aleph, the Dalet, and the Resh. Aleph is a silent letter, and Dar in Hebrew means to abide or to live. And so I see this invisible God, or a very silent sometimes, wants to dwell amongst us. And this is the 12th month. And we're focusing now on the first month of God, which God has his own new year.
That's right.
Some people have, you know something, in the Christian world, the Protestant world, Catholic world, no one has ever even thought of that. God has his own new year because everyone's been following Pope Gregory's New Year, and that's in January. Everything's frozen, dead. God's New Year is when?
God's New Year is the first month of when Passover is.
And when is that?
It's spring.
Yes, when everything comes alive, when everything's new.
Because that's what Aviv means,
yes.
Right? Spring.
Yes, and that's Aviv is like the greenness of the barley, but it's really the newness. It's talking about the newness, and that everything is new in Nisan or Aviv. And it's symbolic of the resurrection, symbolic of your rebirth. It's new. But most people, when we tell them, I see their faces light up. But most people have never even been spoken these words.
And it brings back to who were the apostles. In other words, the apostles were not Catholic. The apostles were not Baptist. They weren't Church of Christ, no matter what those religions say. Because we know that they were following God's calendar. Otherwise, they would have never known that Passover was coming.
I think one of the funniest things, yes, one of the funniest things is when I heard one time that Peter was the first pope. Is that ridiculous?
Well, they kind of kidnapped him and made him, but they found his bones in Jerusalem, so
did
I don't
Peter
think
ever
he was
go
in
to,
Rome.
He ever go to Rome? I
no,
don't
I don't
so.
Believe Peter ever went to Rome. Paul did, but not Peter.
Right, I mean, that's the most ridiculous
thing.
And
Peter was married.
Yes, I mean, Peter was married in the Gospels, and he never went to Rome that we know of. How could he be the first pope? That's absurd. You know, it's ridiculous. But anyway, what we do is, at our congregation, One of Messiah congregation, we actually focus on the scriptures. You know, you can always get a hold of us, too. We're at oneinmessiah.net. That's oneinmessiah.net. We are always available at our emails there. We're not hiding. You can even send us a mail if you want at One of Messiah congregation. That's P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. And we'll be saying this again at the end of the broadcast, but Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. We'd like conversing, and we'd like making straight the way of the Lord.
That's right, because we look at the Bible as one unit. We look at God's people as one people, because as Paul says, there's neither female, male, Greek, or Jew. It doesn't matter. We're all one in Messiah. There is no difference. But yet you look out into the world and you see 1,000 different religions that say they're Christian, but no one believes the same.
Exactly.
And part of that problem is that they only read part of the Bible. They don't read the whole entire Bible. And they miss this important, important issue, which we're talking about today, the Feast of the Lord.
I know. It's a shame. To me, it's such a horrible thing. Every time I go somewhere and I look around, and it seems like, you know, here we are in America, which is only a little over 230 years old, and there's really no, I can't find God anywhere.
That's right, and I think I'm going to, because you probably don't know where it is in the Bible, let's read it, where it talks about the Feast of the Lord. Let's go to Leviticus 23, and this is God speaking. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," can you imagine if the Lord came to you speaking? That would be pretty exciting.
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord, and we know who that is. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts."
That's what I was saying earlier. These are not the feasts of the Jews. They're not the feasts of Moses. These are God's feasts. Yes, praise the Lord.
Amen. It's like his Sabbath. He said he gave us his Sabbath. He gave us his feasts.
Yes.
And his feasts have a reason, don't they? They have a purpose.
Yes. I mean, of course, these spring feasts are, we do them in memorial because it was pertaining to the Messiah's first coming. You know, if you'd like to read more of Leviticus, we can just read, you could read it to everyone. But see, before we even proceed, most people never read Leviticus. That's the problem, the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's a shame because the church people read only that 23% of this Bible that was put together, you know, in the 1500s. But they don't read the Torah and the Tanakh, which is the prophets, which without that, there is nothing else to follow.
Amen. There's no way to prove the Messiah except by Tanakh.
Of course.
Meaning your Old Testament scriptures. And what's so important is that these are also about a time that's to come. The feasts also proclaim the second coming of Messiah.
Right.
They give us rehearsals, if you will. In fact, all through the Old Testament scriptures, the Tanakh, there are types and shadows of Messiah. They're shadows of his coming. And even the whole story of Exodus with Moses also tells the story with the feasts that were to be proclaimed in the spring of the Messiah's death and resurrection, and also the receiving of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost.
That's right.
It's all here. And unless you read it, you won't see it. It's almost like something that's been here all along, but it's been hidden from the eyes of man because of religion, because they've been taught what Scripture means when it doesn't mean that.
Yeah, and one of the scriptures that you're talking about is the famous scripture, Colossians 2:16.
Amen.
I mean, the churches have really did a number on that those verses. They've twisted those to the point where there's no scriptures. But it says right there, they're a shadow of things to come, which is in future tense. And it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day," not a holiday, a holy day, "or of the new moon," which Christians today don't even know what the new moon is. Or it says, now we're in Colossians, remember, this chapter 2. So we want no one to judge us pertaining to these things. And it says, "or of the Sabbath days." I mean, the Sabbath days, that's plural. And, of course, very unfortunate to us, the Seventh-day Adventists, which are only Protestants, they only know about the weekly Sabbath, but there's other Shabbatons. Shabbat Shabbatons, the Mikra Kodesh, the holy days, holy convocations. And it says these things are a shadow of things to come. Apostle Paul saying this to the Corinthians, I mean to the Colossians, and this is in future tense.
And who's, now there's a shadow, now whose body has that shadow?
Well, according to the Bible, it's the Messiah, Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
And but we don't let anyone judge us pertaining to these things, because these are feasts of the Lord. They're holy days of the Lord. The new moon tells us when a new month is coming. I mean, we look at the crescent. We see the little crescent there on the right. And as soon as it's visible, it's another month of God. The moon, the Bible says, the sun, the lesser light and the greater light were given for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. So we observe these things. We don't worship them, of course, but God has put them in the heavens so we know what's going on.
And I think that's why most people look at that verse and they see the word new moon. I think in their mind they're almost thinking like full moon, like it's something witchcraft or something. They don't realize that all of these things in this verse were of God. They're God's feast days. They're God's Sabbaths. They're things that all of the apostles were keeping at that time. And they were telling them, don't let the heathen tell you not to keep these things, because these are things that are about the body of Messiah. These are things that tell you about the Messiah's first and second coming, which we haven't seen yet.
Well, that's why I thank God for our ministry. You know, One a Messiah Congregation, we are here to help, bring to light, educate people, make them, bring them back to the old paths of God. Most people have no knowledge of this, and it's very sad. It's none of their thoughts, none of their theologies, none of their doctrines. They're just taught, I don't know, a motivational speech every Sunday, and no one keeps the Sabbath, which is Friday night to Saturday night, but they keep Sunday, which originally comes from sun worship, and the first day of the week is not the Sabbath.
No, it's not.
I mean, you know, you can go to church on Sunday, but that doesn't mean you're keeping the Sabbath. Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday night.
And some of people say, well, you can't keep the commandments, so you don't have to. Well, if you're not keeping the commandments, then how do you know what sin is? How do you know what you repented from if you don't know what sin is? And they say, well, Jesus rose on the Sunday, so that's why we keep it. Well, God always knew what day the Messiah was going to raise on, but yet he gave us Saturday Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath. And no man on this earth can nor ever could change God's Sabbath. It remains
right.
What God wrote. You can't change it.
I'm not changing it.
Me neither.
Unfortunately, the Catholic Church has changed it, and they changed it so long ago, most people today don't even know there is a Sabbath.
That's right.
I mean, you tell people about the Sabbath, they're ready to stone you. You tell people about the Sabbath, that's Jewish.
But, Angel, that messes up with their Saturday shopping and their games and their sports and everything, and
yeah,
they don't want you to mess up with those to give God time, you know.
Well, you know, America is not conducive to the commandments. It's actually, America, it looks like it's designed to actually help you break the commandments. I mean, people here are just in a lot of them, I wouldn't say everyone, but a lot of people are just in leisure, and everyone's got their own person. When God says that he wants to be in charge, and there's nobody kadosh that I could see when I go places.
What is kadosh mean?
Kadosh. Oh, I'm sorry. Kadosh is holy.
That's
holy,
right.
Holy. Kadosh.
Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh.
I see people that are the opposite of kadosh. See, no one is teaching the difference between clean and unclean, between holy and profane. That's something that has totally been erased. Because nowadays, you can eat anything you feel like when God says it makes your soul abominable. So, but these subjects we're talking about, we're trying to get a lot in on this one segment. Of course, in future segments, Lord willing, we'll get into more depth of all these subjects. However, clean and unclean, who thinks of that? Who thinks of holy and profane? Whoever thinks of that? No, I don't know anyone. So,
well, that's right. And think of it, too. That is probably the number one reason breaking the Sabbath, that people in this country and in this world don't know about God, because they go to church on Sunday for an hour, hour and a half, whatever, might go a little Bible class. Well, when you spend a whole 24 hours with the Lord studying his word, that's why God said, Jesus said he made Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's because if we spend a whole day with him every week, mm-hmm. we will actually learn of him. We will know of him. We'll know who this God is that we have to do.
That's right.
As Paul says. And that's one of the problems with it, is nobody even knows where the commandments are. You know, how many times have we asked people to repeat the commandments? They don't even know what they are.
They don't even know where they are.
They don't even know where they are. We ask them to define sin. They say it's missing the mark.
Yeah, sure. I remember John, the disciple, said very distinctly, sin is the transgression of the law. But people don't like the law. They live, they're Torah breakers, you know, law. They're people that have not been taught these things. You know, we don't try to point the finger at anybody in particular in our generation, because it's been lost so long ago, and people today don't read the Bible. The Bible is something that is just, you put on the bookshelf, you know, they get a big Bible, put their name in it, and then it's in the library or something. You're supposed to read it daily, the Bible says. Meditate upon it day and night. Joshua was told. Most people, like we're going to be doing Passover shortly, right? Most people think that's Jewish. No, the Passover, who is the Passover?
The Messiah is the Passover lamb.
Of course, it says in the Bible, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for you, you know. But most people don't know that. So, of course, we'll be doing the Passover. And then the next night, the night time of the 14th of Aviv is, of course, Chag Matzah, which is the unleavened bread. So people say, well, unleavened bread, what is that? I mean, you know, taking leaven out of your house, what is that all about? Well, let me put it this way. The Apostle Paul says, first you do the physical, and after that is the spiritual. So we do the physical with all our enthusiasm, and you know, we try to get all this leaven out of our house. This leaven is symbolic of something, which I'll explain to you. So we're doing it with all our might, taking leaven out and yeast and all this type of thing. And then all of a sudden the reality sets in, the spiritual information starts sinking into you. It is trying to get sin out of your life on a daily basis. And just trying to, if you're going to be that diligent to get leaven out of your house, how much more should you be that diligent to get sin out of your daily life? I mean, nowadays you can't even hardly watch TV. This pornography, nudity is just like right in your face. It's almost like a scary thing to put the TV on. You go outside, as soon as it gets a little warm out here, everyone's starting to dress a little loose already. Where is the holiness in the world? You know, that's why I tell people, you know, Passover is coming. We have a sign in our yard. It says, call us for the feast of the Lord. Did a feast of your Lord.
That's right. And they have to do with your Messiah. So we talked about that on the 14th, in the later part of the afternoon, that's when they killed the Passover lamb. Well, you know that that matches exactly with the Messiah, because we know that at the ninth hour of the day, which is around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's the God's time. They have 12 hours a night and then 12 hours of day, that he died on the cross. So you see, the Passover lamb died exactly the same time as our Messiah, because he is the Passover lamb, right?
Of course.
And then what's really interesting is that Feast of Unleavened Bread that Angela was talking about, the first day is a Sabbath. Now, that's interesting, because in Luke chapter 23, verse 55, right after they laid the Messiah in the sepulcher, it says, and that day was the preparation the Sabbath drew on.
Right.
And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, what's exciting about this verse is that that was actually the first day of unleavened bread, which is a Sabbath. Jesus did not die on a Friday, because there's no way you can get 3 days and three nights. We all know, if anybody's ever done their math, they know Jesus didn't die on a Friday. So it's not the Saturday Sabbath here we're talking about.
Let me interrupt you for one second. Uh-huh. You know, when you say that, I always makes me chuckle, because you have over 1.5 billion people in Catholicism can't count to three. How do you get three from Friday to Saturday, Sunday morning?
But most of the Protestants follow them.
I know. So you got like, who knows how many people can't count.
And that's because the churches have hidden from them the Feast of the Lord, where the 15th of Nisan is a Sabbath.
Right.
And God did it so wonderfully that he created a Sabbath and then the Saturday Sabbath. And he did rise when the sun came up on the first day of the week, which is Sunday.
You know, the Bible calls it a high holy day, and that's why there's two Sabbaths in a row there, which is very amazing.
The perfect plan.
Of course, we know a few days later was the first fruits. Mm-hmm. And who is the first fruits?
Messiah, Jesus, is the first fruit.
Yes, he's the first fruits. When, you know, back in the Torah, when the priest got the first fruits and he waved them before the Lord, he dedicated them to the Lord, thank God for the blessing of the land and the blessing upon his, God's people. Same thing with Messiah. He became the first fruits of them that are dead. He rose from the dead victoriously. Praise the Lord.
And amen. And we know that that was always on the first day of the week after the Passover.
Of course, it says that.
And so, see, it wasn't a surprise to God that Jesus rose the first day of the week, because it was planned that way for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is, and then what do we call it today? They call it Easter.
Oh, no.
After Astarte.
Unbelievable.
When God called it first fruits, we call it Astarte.
It's
after.
Terrible.
And what do? We have Easter bunnies. We lie to our children. We have Easter eggs.
They got eggs from bunnies?
It's
bunnies
all pagan,
have eggs.
And it's all pagan. And we take God's holy day and make it pagan. And what's very interesting about it is the Catholic Church figured out a way to find first fruits without using God's calendar, so he wouldn't have to tell you about God's calendar.
Well, this Catholic Church, between Catholicism and Islam, they have a big problem going on. You know, 50 days from the resurrection is something called Chag Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. And, of course, we see that in the third month, Sivan, the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. And we see also the Holy Spirit was given in the book of Acts chapter 2, which corresponds to Joel, which was prophesied in the book of Joel, that the Holy Ghost would come. And the Greeks call it Pentecost. And Pentecost is all in the Bible. Well, anyway,
amen.
We have much to say, but I just thank God we could be here. We are One Messiah Congregation. Go to our website, please. Look us up on the net. We are oneofmessiah.net. oneinmessiah.net. Send us email. Write us a letter. One Messiah Congregation, P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. That's Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. Call us anytime, 615-591-9820. That's 615-591-9820.
That's right. And we also, on our website, everything is free. We have videos on there. We have a video of Israel. We have videos about the Feast of the Lord, about Colossians 2:16. We're going to put more videos on there. We have
Amen.
Many audios. We have a 24/7 radio show that goes around the clock. And we love to answer your questions, because as you can see from the spring feasts, now what's really exciting is that there's spring feasts and fall feasts. And the fall feasts are about the second coming. And we'll talk about that at a later time. But what we're trying to say is that seven means something to God. The Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. So we know that the seventh month of God is when the fall feasts are. There's actually one feast and two appointed days. And these are about the second coming of Christ. They've never happened yet.
I guess not. We're still here.
That's right.
Well, anyway, listen, we're wandering Jews. Get behind us. And we praise the Lord we could be here.